FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
This episode of the Financial Survival Network is brought to you in part by Sandstorm Gold Royalties. Sandstorm Gold Royalties is a different kind of gold company. They purchase royalties on select mining operations and receive a percentage of the revenue in return. Sandstorm now has a portfolio of over 185 gold royalties around the world. See how gold royalties differ from other gold mining investments at sandstormgold.com. That's sandstormgold.com. Sandstorm Gold Royalties trades on the TSX as SSL and on the New York Stock Exchange American as SAND.
The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz. It's 10/3/18. Well, we've been through trade wars. We've been through culture wars. We've been through shooting wars. Wars come and go, but the worst wars are the wars against the public. Well, hey, let's take a look at what the markets are telling us about these cycles. Cycles are everything. Never forget that. And again, as always, we invite you to be part of the show. Just email us questions, comments, feedback to kl@kerrylutz.com. And if it's a really great question, I'll read it on the air. Or if it's really amazing, stupendous, superb, I will have you on the air to discuss it. Hey, in the meantime, what's going to be with the markets? They just keep going. It's like old man river. They just keep moving higher and higher. Eric Haddock, Inside Track. That's InsideTrack.com is with us again. Eric, welcome back.
Oh, thanks for having me back, Kerry.
As always. So we talked about a lot of different markets. First, I want to go to your gold projection, your gold forecast, because you've said pretty much all along after the summer fourth quarter, something's going to happen there. We saw the day before, was it yesterday that it was up pretty substantially? And same with silver. What are the tea leaves telling you?
Well, I don't think that what we've seen thus far has done anything to turn the trend yet, that the downtrend, that is. As you mentioned, some of my longer-term cycles for quite some time have been telling me to look for significant bottom, and that significant could be something holds for at least 3 to 6 months and potentially longer. But a bottom, particularly in the gold stock index, the XAU, and also in the copper market. Both of those had some multi-year and multi-month cycles pinpointing August, September as the ideal time for a bottom. And for the last 2 years, along with that, I've discussed the primary downside price targets in the XAU index, which came into play around 59 on that index. Well, in early September, we spiked down to a 60 handle. I think the low was around 60, 59 or something. So for all intents and purposes, we're attacking that 59 target and setting things up for a bottom. And at the same time, gold is, the actual metal, is still holding above its December 2016 bottom, which was the major criteria that I needed to see met in order to tell me we're still in this corrective rally that was expected to last several years. I think ultimately, a couple years from now, we could get above 1400. But that does need to be kept in that context that, I did think we'd see a multi-year bottom in late 2015, early 2016, and a multi-year corrective rally. But it's not that that this is necessarily some raging bull market that could be in the cards. It's just that I think we will see at least a 12-month period and potentially longer of things trending upward beginning in the fourth quarter of 2018.
And the fourth quarter, historically, about 70% of the time, you see precious metals rally, gold particularly rally in that quarter going into January of the following year, right?
That has been something you've seen enough of the time, but if you also look at when we saw the most significant lows of the last few years, most of those lows took hold in either late November or early to mid-December, which means you obviously had to be heading down at some point between the October and late November timeframe. So it hasn't been as consistent in recent years. So we've seen some downtrending in the first half of the fourth quarter, but then you've seen these primarily in December lows set on a consistent basis. Now, I do think I've got other work that tells me to expect a little something different this year, but from a broader perspective, that's still that same idea that you'd see a multi-month, multi-quarter bottom take hold in the fourth quarter. And then I think that actually things will get more positive in the first quarter of 2019.
Yeah. So it's an interesting time. So we look at that trend probably heading up. Let's look at the dollar, because the dollar, and then we'll talk about stock markets. Dollar has pretty much been fairly strong as of recently.
Yeah, and that's one of the things that I think could contribute to a moderate rally in gold, that the dollar has been bumping up against some pretty strong 6 to 12 month resistance for the last several months. And one of the trend indicators that I use, it has been trying to, but has failed to turn that trend up. It's a monthly trend. Mm-hmm. And as long as it fails to do that, it leaves open the potential and even the likelihood for a 1 to 3 month sell-off in the near term. So it's starting in October or so. So it wouldn't surprise me to see that. I do think that the dollar is going to stay in a trading range for several months here. When we kind of plunged into January, February of this year, the dollar reached its multi-year downside targets right around 88.50 to 89 in the dollar index. And that low should hold for at least a year or two. But I think it could trace out a trading range for some time, even as it could prepare for another up move later next year.
Yeah, interesting. And it was just a few short years ago, everybody was writing off the dollar. It became the big short, which I guess turned it into, I guess you don't really want to bet against a reserve currency in the absence of something major cataclysmic taking place in it. So, you know, we look at that, we look at the euro, and the euro turned out to be a major dog, if you will, with a lot of systemic problems, a lot of, you know, just a lot of flaws. And its doubt is often, its future is often in doubt.
Yeah, and that's one of the things that I'm really looking at 2019 for is another pretty significant sell-off in the euro. And I think there are certainly some fundamentals dealing with banking, dealing with some of the specific countries' financial struggles, including Italy, some of those that could really reach fruition in the middle part of next year, and that could be what does trigger another wave down in the euro.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's fascinating because it's always the conventional wisdom, whomever may be the purveyor of it, it's always wrong. That's the one thing I've learned about markets over the years. The conventional wisdom always is incorrect.
Well, once the masses get in tune to it and everyone trading or moving on certain expected correlations and results of certain events, then yeah, it is critical to take more of a contrarian viewpoint and start asking, okay, what's going to, everyone can't be right all the time, so what's going to change that paradigm? And usually that shift occurs, a few people recognize it, then a few more when it gets reinforced, and you know, it takes several phases before the masses come out of their entrenched thinking, and by the time you get to a new common way of thinking, the paradigm's ready to shift again.
Yeah. So by the time the dumb money finds out about it, it's too late, right?
Yeah, exactly. And so, that's why you have the Johnny come lately is buying at the top and selling at the bottom, and why, as they say, it's often most bullish at the top and most bearish at the bottom.
Mm-hmm. And that's just human behavior. It never really changes, right?
Yeah.
So it's like when you're at the poker table, that old cliche, you know, if you look around and you can't figure out who the sucker is you.
Yeah.
So looking at things now, let's take a look at the oil markets. There's been a rally there. I mean, Brent crude is in the 80s, low 80s now. West Texas Intermediate is trading in the mid 70s. You know, what's going to be here?
Well, I kind of view that from the two perspectives, one being price, the other being time. And for me, the upside price objective for West Texas and the crude futures was 75 to 77.30. That range of upside targets and resistance points has been my focus throughout 2018. And I still think that we should see a 3 to 6 month top take hold in that range. From a timing perspective, I was looking for important peaks in late January, in mid to late May, and in late August, early September. We got the first two, but crude is now exceeding that third one, which is not uncommon for an uptrend to shift to the right, as they say. But we're still within those price parameters, and crude had already, the front month of crude had already spiked up into that target zone a couple months ago. So it's on a continuous basis, it's kind of retesting that area. And it's interesting to me that as you see that, as it's coming up to these objectives, as it's in this time frame when I think there's a much higher potential for a peak, you then start getting news like this UN declaration that at least part of the U.S. sanctions are illegal against Iran. And, you know, what's that going to? It may lead to nothing, but it's you start to get those fundamental things starting to creep in. You know, if the UN starts ruling that way, then do some of the countries that are going along with the U.S. right now start to flinch a little bit and maybe start importing a little more of or allowing Iran to export more? And, you know, next thing you know, do you start getting that perception, whether it happens or not, but that perception that more oil could come back online soon. And there could be a host of reasons, but
sure.
It's always interesting to me that you start to get those fundamental perspectives start to shift a little bit from, you know, the last couple months of these sanctions and Iran oil being offline, and that's bullish. Could you start to see that whole thing shift? And, you know, some of they've certainly documented that the sanctions are already having some pretty significant impact. So does that actually bring Iran and the U.S. to the negotiating table? And even that would start to, you know, just signs of that would have a whole different perspective, whole different impact on how traders are perceiving the supply and demand outlook.
Yeah, I totally hear what you're saying. And my gut feel is Iran's going to wind up like North Korea, which is winding up the same as the so-called trade wars. Look, the U.S. settled with Canada, Mexico, and in the final analysis, you know, Trump is trying things that haven't been tried before in the past, and some of them are working. I don't think, you know, we can really deny that a lot of what he's attempting to do has proven somewhat successful, whether it will in the long run or not. You know, we don't know that, but
that's the big thing that I keep coming to. I fully acknowledge that several of these things have worked, at least for the initial objective, the stated objective. And so you can't sit and debate that. I'm not going to try and diminish that. Some of these trade things have certainly shifted. But at the same time, you also need to try and look ahead and project some of that into the future. And, you know, as even in business, you know, some often leaders will bite the bullet and do what's necessary for the good in the short term. But the whole time, they're now starting to shift their objectives for the longer term. Looking at new alliances and you know, reeling from the licking their wounds from not only what's happened at the negotiating table, but the humiliation that's gone on in the public forum.
Yeah,
and that can't be good in the long term. But I don't think that the long term is really considered in a lot of these actions. You know, by the same token, you're not going to get their attention. You know, if you're talking about a trade issue, you're not going to get their attention with the soft pedal approach, because that's been tried for years and years and years.
Yeah, we saw what that did. We saw what good that did.
Yeah. So the sure, I would hope and imagine that the approach is a little different, you know, a little less bombastic and caustic, but I'm not the one doing it. And if the initial results are at least corroborating that it was a good idea, then so be it. But like I said, you're seeing a lot of other things. You even look at the moves that Russia and China have taken over the last 6 to 12 months, just kind of strengthening their alliances. And even recently, you look at the additional developments in the South China Sea.
Yes.
And that China's not, yeah, maybe they're reeling from the trade issues, although when you have a government-controlled economy, you can hold out a bit longer than if something like that happened in the U.S. and they were throwing the politicians out of office as soon as they could.
Yes.
China has a much bigger and broader end game and focus in sight, and so it's hard to tell right now whether things that look successful in the short term end up contributing to bigger challenges in the long term.
Yeah, totally agree with you on that, and we'll see. But, you know, some of these people who is humiliated, you know, like your Trudeau's, like the EU, you know, you see the trend here of populism really spreading across the European continent. And it's you know, obviously the its triumphs so far are perhaps limited, but, you know, you see that there's a trend here, and maybe Trump was the leader of the trend, if you will. And, hey, we don't really know what's going to happen, but, yeah, a change of attitude, change of vantage point, you know, there's a lot going on. Hey, we'll have to see how successful it is in the long run. Certainly the short run, the past 2 years, it's been successful. No one can deny it. And perhaps one success will build on another. And now that they kind of understand Trump, like the Polish or want to build Fort Trump, a $2 billion basically military base that they would just like to give to the U.S. to hang out there and station their troops. You know, they know they get them now is the point. You know, a lot of stuff that you wouldn't have thought at all possible a mere few months ago. It's kind of falling into place, and that's interesting. And the, you know, rather than pretending that the Chinese are our best friends and we love them and et cetera, you know, he's lifted the veil on that, I guess I would say. He's said, you know, hey, we're competitors, we're adversaries, we do have common interests, but, you know, you got to stop stealing our stuff. And, you know, if you don't, there's going to be a price. So right now the price is pretty high. You know, if they can orient their economy away from the U.S., maybe not so much. Hey, so any other markets? Oh, the stock market, of course. How did I forget that? So what are we looking at with the Dow, with the S&P? They just seem to keep going higher and higher.
Yeah. And it's just this idea that we could see some successive highs through 2018, but that be really part of a major topping process. I still have my focus on the second quarter, third quarter of 2019 for a lot of different expectations and more significant events. And that's even when I think that because my cycles show that we should see a significant bottom in the market out in third quarter, fourth quarter of next year, that also means that there is a significant correction prior to that. And often those sell-offs occur just in the months immediately preceding a significant cycle low. You even look more recently at the early 2016 low, and that was a multi-year cycle low. But the preceding peak only took hold a few months before. So, kind of getting used to that type of market action. I think that the middle of next year is when we have more vulnerable time, but I'm looking for some early warning signs going on in the fourth quarter of this year and first quarter of next year. So I'm looking for what might start to be the canary in the coal mine, but haven't had anything triggered yet in these markets. On a little bit lesser magnitude basis, I also thought we could see a moderate correction in October and then a subsequent low set there. So we're in one respect, we're running out of time for that to occur. But yet, as I said, there's been so many times in the last 5 to 10 years where a quick, sharp sell-off only consumes a couple weeks. And so that still is a distinct possibility. So if I could see any signs of that in the next couple days, there's certain things that the S&P and the NASDAQ 100, if they can do on October 4th or 5th, it would validate that possibility or increase that possibility even more, and then start to provide some specifics for expectations of what kind of downside we're looking at.
And then that kind of fits in with the gold stocks, because it's probably the only, one could argue, only undervalued sector left in the market, right? And value stocks have traded horribly over the past few years.
Yeah.
So, interesting. All right. So, hey, well, that's a good insight into what's going on here. Fascinating as always, Eric. So we find your work over at Inside Track. That's INSIIDE track.com. And we've got a couple of other sites we can look at.
Yeah, some of the related articles and posts on the 40-year cycle is at 40yearcycle.com, and that's really the other one that would have a lot of information that might be of interest to some of your listeners.
All right. Sounds great. Hey, as always, just email us. We're getting busy on the YouTube channel now, so if you're listening on the YouTube channel, like us, subscribe, and share the show wherever you might be if you think it has value for your friends and family. And Eric, it's always great to talk with you. Hey, we'll be talking to you hopefully right after the Thanksgiving holiday, and good luck and enjoy.
Sounds great. Thanks for having me back, Terry.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.